We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFL SundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat postgame show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today is not producer and co-founder Brian Goins. I don't even know where he is. He was supposed to be on. He's not here. He'll join us eventually. But instead, we have our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
Get those brooms out.
Let's go, baby. And also, we're welcoming to the program again our Photoshop professional anime lover, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
It's been a minute, Brass.
It's been a many minutes.
These daytime games have killed scheduling for you.
Listen, man, a couple kids in the middle of a worldwide pandemic and like, yeah, it's hard to do a post game show at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
You have two kids hanging off your sides, you know, to try to record. It's tough.
It's crazy. And then you expect me to come here and then like look after you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's lot exhausting. Of work. Oh, look who's joining us right now as producer and co-founder Brian Goins right at the start of the show. Brian's probably not even, Brian's muted. Brian will join us eventually. He's there. He'll eventually get to talking. So the Heat sweep the Pacers.
Brian's already
He's already fucking up the show. We were doing good before. Now Brian's producer co-founder. Welcome.
Did we win?
Yeah, we did win. We swept. The brooms are out. My favorite part is TJ Warren going back to the locker room, not saying shit, not shaking hands, as Jimmy Butler is greeting future teammate Victor Oladipo. Everyone's like, good games all around, everything, blah, blah, blah. And TJ Warren's ass heads right back to the locker room, doesn't want any of this slander.
Love it.
None. Kendrick. It was great to kick his ass, like specifically TJ Warren's ass. Like, it was fun. Like, he was sad. He walked to the locker room. Everyone's like, you know what? They're the better team. TJ Warren wanted none of that. He's like,
I mean, this is like how supervillains were born, except he doesn't have any of the tools to be a supervillain.
He has no superpowers. He has a superpower of being a very average NBA player. That's his superpower.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing about this whole like rivalry between Butler and Warren. Yeah, I can't really hate TJ Warren because he was just never a threat.
He's not worth it.
What was cool to see was just to see Butler hound a guy for four straight games and just swallow him up. Just swallow a whole team up, really.
Middleton, like, you're next.
Oh, boy.
Maybe.
Chris Middleton, you're next. Look, like, you know, so they win this series. I think I said Heat in five. Brian said Heat in four. A lot of us were like Heat in five, Heat in four. Like, nothing. Brian's like, I will take a job.
When we do our Bucks predictions.
We got to do our Bucks. So next show, by the way, we're going to do an in-depth preview to what we presume will be a Bucks Heat series, even though we wanted Orlando. You know, and like, so they win this series. The games are kind of close, but not really close. There's those kind of fake close games that, like, I don't know. Did you guys ever think that they were going to lose any of those games, even if Indiana was kind of making a comeback?
Just game three.
I didn't think they were going to lose game three.
We got so cold towards the end of that game.
Oh, my God. Well, after that first half of shooting, all those threes, I knew it was just going to be tough that second half. But I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want people to take out my tweets afterwards.
We know how this team works.
That you said we're going to go up by 20.
I did. I tweeted that game. I go, mark my words. The Heat are going to get the 20-point lead back. And Brian just deletes my tweet. He's like, don't say that shit on the main account.
Yeah, man.
Don't say that shit.
Do you not remember game 2 of the 2011 finals?
Do you not remember Paul Millsap? You can't be tweeting that out of the account. That was Brian. So he deleted it.
I was never super worried about, I know hindsight's 20/20, but even at the time, like, there were times that I was worried that the Heat were going to give up a lead, but always that they were just going to give up a lead. Never that the Pacers would be coming, like, charging back. Like, this Heat team's relentless.
They're
I thought
good,
maybe
man.
They would lose this game today. We were talking about it earlier. I thought maybe
it looked bad
to go easy on the Pacers and, you know, look ahead to the Bucks. But like, no, they're relentless. They're like nothing if not consistent.
I know
in the regular season, you like they've dropped a bunch of games where they've had big halftime leads. But like, I don't know, in this Pacers series, they're going at it.
I like the fact that the games were close at moments because, I mean, they were really able to, you know, put their foot on the gas. And I just think they were just kind of bored a lot of it. Because the Pacers, they're not that much of a challenge, but I mean, they had a lot of. I'm excited about the next round. I think
I'm pumped for the playoffs to actually start.
Yeah, right. It was a good primer though. But none of those games were really. I mean, the box score watchers will look at it. You know, though, it was.
Did that feel like a playoff basketball to you? Like at any point?
Yeah,
I think game three.
It was
moments
basketball.
Did yeah.
It was game
yeah.
four towards the end. I mean, I guess when.
Dude, I had my Jimmy Dragic, Butler.
Before we had like that three rebound possession or four rebound possession and Tyler hit that shot, maybe that was like
the closest
it was.
I am really confused as to why Jimmy Butler played any of the second half. Tonight,
I didn't think
though.
He needed to. Like maybe they felt and maybe he insisted. I don't know. I
man,
mean,
you're talking hindsight on that one too. Like it's woo. Man, if something happened to Jimmy, shit, man. That would just
shoulder
be
shoulder strain.
I mean, he clearly didn't want to shoot. I mean, like, he clearly did not want to put his hands over his head.
He still dunked.
He did.
He had some good passes, taking the ball off the dribble.
Yeah. I got a little concerned when Bam took an extra second to get up after he went.
Oh, me too, dude.
Ball.
I was like, no more.
Was
I was
like,
no more. We can't, like,
yeah.
Orlando better win an extra game or something.
I was like, all right.
Come on.
I'm like, Chris Silva, me, man. Let's go.
So mild, I have some recovery from shoulder sprain. Google search.
What you got, Brian? What you got?
For a mild to moderate shoulder sprain or strain, you may be able to return to your normal activities within 1 to 2 weeks.
Okay, but they're NBA players that are going to play through the pain. So if 1 to 2 week.
Yeah, but for a guy like Jimmy, 6 to 8 minutes.
Exactly. It's just
what is the fastest right way to heal a sprained shoulder?
Culture.
I mean, on.
Rest your shoulder so it can heal. No, they didn't do that.
That didn't happen.
Avoid moving WebMD. Your shoulder as your injury heals. He didn't do that either.
I kind of did. Kind of did.
Apply ice on your shoulder for.
He did that.
Minutes. Yeah, he did that too.
They did that they did
every
on the
2 hours or as directed. So he's not sleeping tonight.
Did you hack into some like Miami Heat medical staff thing here? That it's just WebMD.
Is it Jay Sable?
Your shoulder. Oh, yeah, they did that too. Okay, so they did like.
Okay, look at that. Jay Sable's following protocol here.
Okay.
I bet they looked it up too when they went,
definitely
when
did.
Butler went down.
Definitely
I don't know what happened.
tapping Google.
Shoot around. Strain. They saw him like grab his shoulder and they're like, quick to the computer.
Google. Okay, Brian. So by the way, your prediction of Kendrick Nunn not playing a single playoff minute became wrong. Four games in.
I wasn't anticipating Jimmy getting hurt.
Yeah. So Jimmy got hurt. Kendrick looked good. I got to be honest with you. Like, I've given Kendrick a lot of shit this year. He looked great.
What was his box score?
Spark plug. His box score was helped the team a lot when they looked bad.
Did he score a single point in the second half?
I don't know.
No, yeah, I think he had more smiles than the last of his like 10 games combined, though.
He looks so happy. Everyone was happy for him.
He looks happy.
Yeah, that made me happy. I'm happy to see that, man.
I'm happy that he's happy. I don't know how much.
I mean, listen, to play like that, to play well, to play competitive, you know, for the first few shots to go down in a game like this, where, you know, this is his first minutes in a playoff game, right? In
that's
the NBA.
True.
And
that's
and,
totally
and
true.
And yet it's part of a sweep in the first round. I mean, come on, that's great. That's actually, I was hoping he was going to get some minutes tonight for sure. Because you got to get the next series is going to be, well, it's either going to be easier or it's going to be tougher. I can't tell.
I mean, Nikias doesn't feel like he'll be able to play a lot. It's going to be tough because like Derek hasn't looked good this series. And I don't know
if you can play Derek.
I don't know if you're going to be able to play Derek.
I don't think you can play Derek against the Bucks. No, I know. But
not a minute.
But Kendrick, you know, it's nice to know that you can, you'll feel better about some spot minutes after this because a lot of it is just it's confidence building. And I think this did that.
Derek played 7 minutes today and just didn't look good for any of it.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't think Nunn should be heavily in the rotation, but I think Nikias kind of said it. It's so nice to have like Butler go out and you're not even that worried about the Heat not being able to pick up the slack. Like the team holds together. It doesn't fall apart.
Yeah.
Like obviously Butler is essential for the team, but like it's nice that they still have that competence. You have like Goran Dragic who can steer the ship, and then you have like none you can throw in. You can just be like, oh, we have 15 points a game, like just off the bench, that's fine.
Yeah, because you got defenders, but none when he has a strong night. I mean, he's gonna put up points, man. You know, it's nice to have a guy come off and actually be an offensive threat, whereas in the past, you know, we want a guy to come off the bench and just defend. But
this team is kind of weird. It's like they're so damn deep. They have so many guys that can do so many things. I mean, none of the guys that can create off the dribble, shoot pull-ups, do a bunch of stuff and can't find his way into a rotation. Part of that was the shots weren't dropping and the defense wasn't very good. Today, defensively, he looked awesome. It was a fucking dog. Defended Malcolm Brogdon as well as anybody has the series for a couple of big possessions. So
I just think Brogdon was confused because he's never had someone that wasn't white cover him.
Like Malcolm's like, wow. Well, they don't have only there. White point guards.
They're going there.
Milk in their veins. Tyler had milk in his veins today.
Dude,
that's a crowd.
Tyler is so good.
Turner was so nice.
Insane, dude. Where the fuck did this come from? He wasn't doing this before the bubble. What the fuck?
No, and also when he got to the bubble, he wasn't doing this either.
He looked like shit the first game. We were talking like, I don't know, man. It's looking dicey.
But I mean, the confidence that kid's playing with, it's insane, man. It's smooth.
Did he steal Duncan's confidence?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, Duncan's fine. I'm actually like kind of glad he had this night because it just means like, I feel like anytime he has a night like this, which is completely rare, like he never has nights like this. I feel like anytime he has a night like this, he just comes out with a flamethrower like the next game. Like, his last bad game in the series, the next game, what do you hit, like three straight threes? Just
bro,
you
fucking
right off
like
the bat?
Beat six straight threes.
You know what it is? So like today, like I think when he plays a little rushed, it looks bad. And I think today the Pacers made him early on, they were defending him really well. The guy was attached to his hip coming around the screen and he felt rushed. And it was the second three pointer that he almost got it blocked from behind or whatever. And you could tell that he felt the guy behind him. And he's a guy that needs to get his feet set. When he's coming to shoot, he's not like a Lou Williams, like Deion Waiters that can just like throw up kind of nonsense, right? Like he's a very mechanical kind of Klay Thompson shooter that, you know, if he's playing a little rush, it's not very good. So I'm not too concerned. I mean, he got all the looks he wanted. He just needs to play a little slower.
That's all right, man, because next game he'll bounce back and he'll come out shooting. I mean, I did see him. I don't know if it was a mental thing tonight or not. I definitely saw him hesitate a little more than usual which I thought was a little odd.
That one on the top of the key where he like he caught it wide ass open and kind of took a second.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, not like him. I'm just like, come on, Duncan. You're the best shooter on planet Earth. Let that rip. Let's go.
That's all right, though.
No reason. I mean, he'll be fine. Like, I'm not concerned about that. I'm like mildly concerned about Jimmy's shoulder, but like he's so fucking tough that, you know, and I don't know.
Him will probably shoot better.
It's just not the wrist. You know, the wrist is what scares me.
And they also have some rest before, but between now and the next game too. What is it, Friday? Is that the
the Raptors and the Celtics tip off on Thursday. So Milwaukee, so we're thinking maybe even Saturday, right? Because the Bucks will play. What's today? Monday, Wednesday. Yeah, maybe Friday if the Bucks win. So they'll have a couple
days. Which means the Bucks only have one day off.
Yeah, the Bucks are only going to have one day off. The Heat are going to have enough. And that's good for Goran too, man. I mean, like, I think the rest before the playoffs really helped Goran a lot. Like, just keep these guys fresh, man. Goran played a lot of minutes this series, even if it was just four games.
Yeah, so, but again, I think the, like, lack of travel, I think that does allow you to kind of push guys harder than you would under normal circumstances. I'm glad Goran's going to have the rest, but I do think like if it was a normal playoff series where they were traveling back and forth from Indy, like, and they just came off like a regular season where they were traveling all around the country, that would be a little different than like he might play like three, five less minutes a game.
This certainly helps older guys, you know, kind of get their body right and stuff. The other thing, it's like, this team was such a shitty home, like road team, that they didn't have to deal with that. And like, it's going to help them in the long run. At first, I was wondering if it was going to hurt them because they're such a good home team and they're not going to have that. I mean, I think part of the reason why they're looking so good, it's they don't got to fucking play a road game. They were really bad on the road. And it's like, I mean, going into Indy is a hard place to win. I mean, we give them a lot of shit, but like, you know, it's a place that they've historically struggled. Going into Milwaukee would have been tough. I mean, now, you throw all that shit out the window, right? And you're playing in a neutral site. Nothing's bothering you. They have so many shooters. And I think that this environment is really conducive to that. They fucking look good, man. They look good. I mean, they get to the conference finals, and I don't think too many people will be that shocked. Sundays are back in the NFL. Watch NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You could stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite device. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. From tight muscles, tight workouts, signs of aging, to simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore, so everyone can benefit from TheraOne CBD products. Started by Dr. Jason Worslin, TheraBody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. It started with a revolutionary TheraGun percussive therapy device when Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments. He created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products claim organic, but can contain up to 30% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products four times before they get it to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the US, and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. Use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for targeted relief, and sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. And now through Labor Day, Monday, September 17th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. But you've got to go to TheraGun.com/BlueWire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, then send it back for a full refund within 30 days. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. Buy one, get one free at TheraGun.com/BlueWire, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to TheraGun.com/BlueWire.
No. Yeah, I had a question. Are you more confident about this Heat series versus the Bucks or the Raptors series back in 16? Like, when they beat the Hornets and they were going to play the Raptors.
Oh, I was so sure that the Heat were going to beat the Raptors that series. I was so sure.
But you didn't
the
Raptors back then. You didn't like the Raptors back then.
I did. I like Kyle Lowry.
No, you didn't.
I like the Raptors.
You stole
back
Jack's
then. I like
bit.
Kyle
Jack,
Lowry. But
Jack was the Raptors fan.
I was the Raptors.
But he's not.
Before you stole my bit.
He's not an annoying asshole about it like you are. But you know,
did you see what happened on Twitter today? So I kind of talked on Twitter today, like, you know, today's going to be the first day that the first playoff series that they win in my lifetime without Dwayne Wade. You know, like, I've never seen them like do successful things on a basketball court like in the playoffs without Dwayne. And I was like, it's a bit weird that he's not a part of this. And I said that Dwayne's the most important, most transformative sports figure of my life. And then somebody goes, bro, that's Kyle Lowry. Bro, I was dying. That shit was so funny. I was dying. Like, leave me alone, man. I love Dwayne.
So Jay Crowder says that his ankle is as big as a golf ball.
Oh, boy.
What happened? What the fuck?
What the hell?
He says he could also use recovery time.
Yo, Orlando. Yo, if Vucevic is about the culture, they're going to win another game. Yeah, we're going to be rooting hard for Orlando. Huh?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm going to be fucking glued to that Orlando game wearing a Magic jersey. Let's go, Terrence Ross.
Yeah, but I don't want him to win too much. I'm a little more concerned about an Orlando matchup.
Dude, me too. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Vooch and Evan Fournier. I mean, the listeners think we're kidding. We're not. That's
no,
scary.
They know. They've seen this Heat team play the Magic. They know.
The Magic are like 10-2 against the Heat since LeBron left or something crazy. It's like a crazy winning percentage.
What year did LeBron leave?
2014. Wow, that's been that long. It's more than 10-2 then. Yeah, check that, Brian, because it's something ridiculous. It's something really weird.
Magic record versus Heat.
This is a segment we like to call our producer Googles.
Yeah.
So something we talked a little bit pregame is
11-17.
Dude, that's not good. I mean, that Orlando team's been lottery bound for much of that.
Yikes. And the Heat won 3 games this year out of them. So, like, really?
Yeah, they're better this year. Jimmy put an end to that shit. He's like, nah, not on my watch.
I'm telling you, dude, we fear Evan Fournier for a fucking reason. Nick Vucevic, Evan Fournier, that shit's scary. DJ Augustine. So we talked a little bit before. Like, I was somebody who was not like 100% sold in the C team, right? So I know Jack said, you said in our group chat, this is like one of your top 5 favorite teams of all time, right?
That's not what I said, but yeah, I guess by consequence it is. It is my favorite Heat team that is not a Big Three Heat team and not 2006.
Okay, so yeah, that's a lot of qualifiers, but yeah.
No, it's just my favorite
like it
since
a lot.
2013.
You like it a lot, yeah.
I like it more than the 2016 team, which is like a debate we've had before, which is why I said it. Like, so, just pushed it over the top for me.
I've struggled a lot with like how I feel about this specific group because like they're really good, but it was a lot of new faces. I really loved Justice and he was gone, and I really loved Josh, and I got really attached to that group. And it's funny, like, you get attached to a mediocre group, but I think kind of to be like a little self-involved, like, you know, Brian and I have been doing Heat Beat since that game one win, the key Pacers Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron hits the buzzer beater over the Pacers. That was our first ever pod. And for like the next 2 years, it was just Brian and I figuring out like how to do this. It wasn't until like the Josh and Justice years that we like really had a podcast, that Jack came on, that like other people, Alf, Leif, you know, everyone started to join after that. So like we got really attached to like that group, and then Hassan and Josh and Justice, like that was like, those were our guys. So like it was a little weird watching them not be on the team anymore, covering a team without them. My first year in the locker room was like, talking to Josh, like interviewing, you know, Justice and Josh and all that, like that meant a lot to me. So like this group was a little weird. It was a lot of really new faces. And, you know, I was telling the guys, like, I'm falling for this team. Like, I'm here now. Like, I love the way they play offense. Like, they're not a gritty, defensive, grinded out Heat team. Like, that's, even though that's the Miami Heat culture identity, it's not who they are. They're a fucking powerhouse offense that's going to shoot a shit ton of threes. It's going to run around. They never stop moving. There's so much motion. Eric Spoelstra's a genius. They're screening. Like, it's constant motion. And I fucking love it. And I'm here.
We've been saying all year that they're on house money, really. And I think to me, what's most exciting about this team, coming off, you know, years ago with the Big Three, everyone everyone in the country was like, well, yeah, you're supposed to win. Look at your fucking team. Look at the players you have. This team this year, the highest drafted player on the entire team is Iguodala, who went 9th in the first round. Everyone else is that or is after that or just undrafted. And so it's like it's a super gritty, excited. It's a cool mix of like really young guys who just are just playing out of their minds. You know, I mean, like Tyler Hero, I mean, the confidence is just crazy on that guy. But then you have a great mix. You have a good mix of veterans too in there. Iguodala has been playing really well in the playoffs. He's been playing awesome. The majority of the fourth quarter. I mean, I've been really, really happy with what he has brought to this team a lot.
Yeah, it's been Andre Iguodala, which is, I mean, what you want from him. You hadn't seen him in like a year.
Great analysis.
He's getting up there in age, but like he's so consistently Andre Iguodala, which is like just one of the most unique, awesome, perfect basketball players. He's Andre Iguodala. He's like an incredibly smart player. Like,
who is he?
He's not like the athlete that he was in Philly, but like he's this like hound of a defender. Like just you feel him when he's on the court, and then he like makes the occasional like perfectly timed three. Like he's not a 3-point shooter, but like he's made several shots in this series where you're like, wow, they really needed it. A three right there, and like he just pulled it out of his ass. It's great. He's an incredible player, and I'm so glad he's on this team. Miami won the trade.
Oh shit, Jack! That's something that we as like a podcast have had to eat. I don't know where Brass stood on the trade. I know that you were probably more. You were not as far.
You know me.
I don't
really take sides unless I'm in the chat.
Huh?
I don't really take sides publicly unless I'm in the chat.
All I know is that Braz, every time I mentioned that the Justice trade was good for the Heat, he always gives me a thumbs down on the DMs.
I mean, I just get
a thumbs down still, but like
for sure, I will always give you a thumbs down on that.
You're not wrong.
No, I think for this season, if they would have done anything less than a first round sweep. I would really question it. I mean, it has worked out really well for this. I mean, I still think that Justice has a future as he still has potential to be a really good player. I don't necessarily think that his injury issues are going to plague him forever, but they might. And that's totally fair to say, but you know, I'm still going to be rooting for him. He's really good. Let's not forget, he was really when he was here and healthy, he was playing really well.
Game two of the season against the Bucks.
But as it stands, enough about like the Justice standing and shit like that. But as this the way this team is currently constructed, yeah, that trade was a good trade for this season, and hopefully it carries forward to the future seasons.
Jay Crowder's been awesome. Andre has been obviously as advertised. I mean, Jay Crowder has like really broken all expectations over here, especially with me.
Don't forget Solomon Hill, man.
And I was about to say, our homie Solomon Hill came in the deal. A guy that, I mean, to be honest with you, I was kind of hoping he'd get some minutes today. Because when Jimmy was out, I was like, are we going to see Solomon? Going to see some Solomon? Got Kendrick Dunn instead. Hopefully we get some Solomon Hill minutes. You know, guys.
Well, especially if Jay's ankle is like a golf. What was it, like a baseball or a golf
size
ball?
Size of like a golf ball. I don't know what that really.
Golf balls
means.
Are small though.
Wait, it seems ankle like are, size. Ankles are normally bigger than golf balls.
Yeah. So
that's what Barry tweeted. So
did his
I'm
ankle
just
shrink?
What Barry tweets.
I'm confused.
Do you think Jay meant baseball?
Maybe that's the problem. His ankle is too small.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's dangerous. That could be a liability. Bad.
Man,
I'm looking up ankle size of golf ball on Google.
Okay,
no, so, I mean, I get what he said. He has a lump in his ankle the size of a golf ball.
The resulting golf ball to baseball size swelling and severe swelling are well known to most, especially athletes.
Ha! Ah. Also, this
great
is a thing.
WebMD episode.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be the name he beat MD.
This individual exhibits a moderate golf ball-like swelling on the outside of his ankle, and there is some bruising that is noted around the ankle.
Oh my god!
Pictures too. Ooh, they don't.
Oh, look at that! Brian's a doctor now. Brian's a capologist and a doctor. Where does he not? Where does
oh,
his knowledge
god.
End?
Oh yeah, that's not good, guys.
No. Ooh. No. It'll be fine. That's why Nick Vucevic has to win. You know,
it's very blue.
Early in the season, you know, we kind of talked about like expectations where we wanted the team to end up. And even though, like, I think we all kind of disagreed on how good the team was, I think we all kind of agreed, like, second round is like where they got to be. And now they're fucking here. They made it. Like, we're here. This is second round. Like, they're waiting for their opponent, right? So they're easily through. They took care of business. They dominated Indy. And now they're waiting for the Bucks or the Magic, probably the Bucks. I already think the season's a success. And if they lose, like, I think minimum, and again, we're going to get into it. We have a whole big podcast plan for a preview against the Bucks tomorrow. So, you know, stay tuned for that on the feed. But, like, you know, if I expect them fully to either win or give the Bucks a hell of a fucking series, and anything less than that is a disappointment to me, even though they made the goal that I think that they should have had.
Yeah, I don't know if you can talk in, or I don't know if I want to talk in terms of, like, success or failure. Like, I like this team, and I think they have a bright future. I've enjoyed them enough this season, but I would like to see them take at least a game from the Bucks. That's, like, if you're going to put the line somewhere for...
If they only take one, it better be game one. That's all I'm saying.
If the Magic can take a game like from Orlando, them, we can take a game from
then
them.
Then getting blown out, like, subsequent games.
I think they're going to take more than one game.
Like, yeah, the Heat are... It's going to be a good series. I don't think it's going to be... I don't think there's going to be any blowouts.
I mean,
I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough, and, like, you know, that's big, man. That's a fucking huge win for the franchise. This is a huge win for Spo, you know, to win a playoff series. And I know, like, we always talk about the Heat are a franchise that's about winning, that they're a franchise that, you know, plays for titles, plays for banners, plays for gold and confetti. Winning a fucking playoff series is a big deal. And winning a playoff series with a young team is a really big deal. And the first year of your big max free agent signing, you're ahead of schedule. We've talked ad nauseum that they're a team that's, you know, this is not their final form. You know, they're still waiting on another guy, another max all-star type guy. And the fact that they're in the second round, they're one of the last eight teams standing with the legitimate shot to be final four. That's huge. And that's huge for the franchise. That's huge for Coach Spo, that gets a lot of shit on Twitter that he only won with LeBron and only won with D Wade, doing it with other people.
Do you guys put any stock in that the last time the Heat swept a postseason round was with LeBron in 2014 against the Charlotte Bobcats?
The Bobcats! The Hornets weren't even a thing again. It was the Bobcats.
Wow. Yeah. Was that with McBob? With the elbow from McBob?
Yeah. That was that series.
Yeah. Good time.
Classic. Classic. And then Miami is like, hey, we should pair him with LeBron. He'll love that.
Good idea, Pat. Listen, I have bad takes. We all have bad takes. Pat had a bad take. It happens.
Can't win them all. I mean, I was excited about that. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. That guy.
I was a McBob's apologist even up until they traded him. I still think the McBob's Bosch tandem could have worked.
It's not his fault that his body just, like,
stopped. It's his fault that he refused to shoot. No, it's totally his fault that he just...
The pump faking was, yes, but that's in the past. Now we're in 2020 and the Heat are awesome. And we're not thinking about that.
Kelly Olynyk is what we wanted McBob's to be.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, hey
guys, I like, you know, I know we're sort of like wrapping up here and stuff, but like, has there been any mention of another team having been swept in the playoffs?
Is another team? Oh, you mean the Sixers?
Who was it? Oh yeah.
Oh, the process, baby. What happened?
Shit.
What happened? Man. They lost to the other team that hoards assets.
It's a shame because I really wanted to play that. I don't hate the Pacers. I think the TJ Warren beef, like we said, is like kind of whatever. I wanted They're the fine. Pacers in the first round, and I said that constantly because I think they also would have gotten swept. Like, they just were not a good team, and like, they're not really built for the playoffs. And I think the Heat would have just wiped the floor with them. I think Butler would have just talked shit for four straight games and destroyed them for four straight games.
It's kind of what happened here.
Pacers or Sixers? I think you said Pacers, but I thought you...
No, he beat Jack means Sixers.
Okay.
I wanted the Sixers. Whatever.
I mean, I did too. I mean, it would have been fun to just completely destroy their season. And it sucks. I mean, maybe they'll get a shot next year with Ben healthy and everything. I mean,
Brett Brown's fired.
Yeah, Brett Brown's fired. That's...
I mean, that stuff Christian was tweeting today. I mean, if you go to I Can Be Your Hero's Twitter account, has some scathing from a reputable source in the Philly organization.
But
how about you read a couple as we slander the Sixers?
Give me a second, I can find it. But I do remember that one tweet he was talking about how the coaching staff wanted no part of Al Horford.
That was funny.
And within two weeks, they found out that he sucked. It wasn't a fit.
He doesn't suck. He just doesn't fit with the team.
It was bad. Like it was just not a happy marriage. It was not a good fit. I mean, it was pretty.
I think he has value elsewhere, though. Like Al Horford's been a great player for a long time. Like, I don't expect him to stop being a good player. When he's not on the floor with Embiid, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just when you can't play on the floor with the best player on your team, you're not going to find much success on that team.
It's always going to be tough.
Change his profile picture and it's glorious.
Yeah, he was a virtual fan today. Christian loves being a virtual fan. He
brought out the broom. It's great.
It's killing it.
So here's what Christian tweeted this morning. From what I was told, the front office and coaching staff didn't agree on much going into last offseason, but the one thing they did agree on is not wanting Jimmy Butler back.
That's scary.
According to Christian and his source, the coaching staff wanted to do the same Jimmy to Miami trade, which brought back Josh Richardson. They wanted to re-sign J.J. Redick, and they did not want to max Tobias Harris, and instead use that money to go after Kemba Walker or Marcus Morris. Instead, the front office did exactly what they wanted to do, which was max
Tobias.
That's why the process will never work, because they don't want Jimmy Butler, but they want brands.
Heat and four. Fuck the Bucks.
Yeah.
Fuck the Bucks and six.
Yeah, boy.
My goal for this series is that Bam Adebayo makes Giannis cry once.
What? Oh, he has to come here.
It could be Butler and Bam, but I just want the collective frustration to make him crumble like the Greek economy.
Did someone say playoffs, NBA and NHL are playing for gold and our partners Bet Online have you covered? Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.